This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
A lot of people turned up on Sunday to Stamford Bridge, expecting the worst, I guess, if you're a Chelsea fan. Instead, we saw a great result. They beat Manchester United 1-0. All this kind of talk, about Chelsea are in a crisis and Conte's on the way out. Has it been overplayed and over-exaggerated?
Yes, I think it has been over-exaggerated. Over the past few weeks and months, I think Chelsea have had a few bad results over the course of the season. That 3-0 against Roma in the Champions League was one of them, certainly. But the difference with this Chelsea team is, while with previous managers we've seen bad results being the start of a really bad slide, with Conte, he seems to get a reaction out of this players, and it was like that on Sunday. I, along with a lot of other people, thought we were going to get quite a flat Chelsea performance like we got in Roma, and it just didn't materialise. It was one of probably their best performance of the season so far, and also, as we'll go on to talk about, we had the David Luiz episode as well. So there was a whole range of negative storylines around Stamford Bridge, and yet Conte managed to get a really good performance out of his team, and it just kind of showed that he really is a guy in control of that side. Even when things are conspiring against him at the club, he is the man for Chelsea at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to read maybe too much into it, but it did seem like almost like a minor watershed moment for Chelsea, in a sense that, you know, they had the worst start to the season in the Community Shield against Arsenal, and in the first defeat to Burnley. And you know, then they beat Tottenham, they beat Everton, then they lose to Man City, they draw with Arsenal, and then they beat Atletico Madrid, and then they lose to
Crystal. The whole season.
No, well, the point I'm making is that, you know, it's up and down and up and down. But this seemed to be like one of the most. This seemed like old Conte, old Chelsea, where he got his tactics spot on. The team did what he wanted. A team showed up at Stamford Bridge, and Chelsea dominated them. And I think he probably took a lot of enjoyment out of the fact that he managed to get one over Mourinho, who's been doing his absolute best to wind him up over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I think, I mean, sure, it's Chelsea, and you know, I think a manager's on a loose peg in the best of times, but I would say that, you know, I think Chelsea fans have slept a little easier this week after that result.
What's different about Conte? Because we saw him when Mourinho was there the second time.
Well, he used to have no hair, but now he does have hair.
Ah, got you, okay. I knew there was something.
A while ago, though.
Cheers. Mourinho struggled when he lost the dressing room, as most managers do, but I think a lot of people, as I said at the start, I think a lot of people expected this is maybe the beginning of the end for Conte. Why is he different, or how is he different from other Chelsea managers that have come before him? And there has been a lot, because they love to chop and change. So.
Yeah. He's a much better tactician than most Chelsea managers. I think maybe all Chelsea managers under Roman Abramovich in this modern era of the club. And it was a nice contrast on Sunday between the two kind of methods of management, in that Jose Mourinho had been, as you say, winding up Antonio Conte for weeks, and he kind of went with the mind games. And I don't know if you saw it before the match, he waited by the Stamford Bridge tunnel to shake the hand of every Chelsea player as they came out. All part of the act from Jose Mourinho.
He was doing it with staff as well when he was walking in.
Yeah, and he did it with Conte, and Conte refused his handshake, or went away to do something else. But yeah, so Jose Mourinho is very much a mental manager. He goes with the kind of mentality and mindset, whereas Antonio Conte is a straight tactician. And against Manchester United, he had the tools as a coach to get his team out of a slump. He changed his system a little bit. He put an emphasis on the midfield that Chelsea haven't done so far this season. He recognised Manchester United were slightly weak without Paul Pogba or Marouane Fellaini in there, and so he put an extra emphasis on the central midfield. And actually, up until now, we've been saying the midfield has been a weakness of Chelsea, having lost Matic and Bakayoko's taken a bit of time to get used to the Premier League. But yeah, if you're asking the question, that's where the difference is between Conte and the people who have come before him.
Yeah, I mean, I think a stat that really, I think, sums up to me what Conte does as a coach is that, you know, in terms of from winning positions at Chelsea, so whenever they score the first goal in the Premier League this season, they've gone on to win every game. So as soon as they get that first hold on a game, they win it. And the only team who've been able to match that, or indeed surpass it, by doing it in more games is Man City and Pep Guardiola. And I think that kind of sums up the kind of, you know, power balance we have in the Premier League right now. Conte and Chelsea are a very good team, but Man City and Pep Guardiola are simply better. And there's nothing, I mean, Chelsea fans might not appreciate this comparison, but I don't think there's anything wrong right now with being the best of the rest. And I think you look at Jose Mourinho at Man United, who's still, since what, like January 2015, hasn't beat a top six side. You have Arsenal and Arsene Wenger, who are constantly fumbling around the place.
Who are just Arsenal and Arsene Wenger.
Arsenal's Arsene Wenger.
We don't talk enough about how amazing it is that Arsenal managed to find a manager whose first name is Arsene. Just thought I'd drop that in there.
Just while you're, yeah, I suppose so. Just throw me off my point entirely there. God, what else am I talking about? Yeah, and then you've got Tottenham, who are obviously very good and quite hot and cold, but there's always that looming sense that Pochettino could leave or Kane to get injured or something.
Or they're overachieving.
Sure. So in the grand scheme of the Premier League, I think despite the kind of, you know, as we just talked about at the top of the show, the turmoil and the drama around Chelsea, I think they're actually in a pretty good position in England, and if you don't immediately compare them to Man City, which I don't think is fair.
Well, let's stay in that then. I think As you say, you'd be forgiven for thinking Chelsea are struggling to make top six. Like, it's an absolute riot down at Stamford Bridge, where really they're now only a point behind Manchester United, who are in second place. Is what Stefan says right? And I know you don't like to agree with Stefan, so I'll double check on this. But is it really the rest of the teams are playing for second place, and the best that Chelsea can hope is pipping Manchester United or Tottenham or Liverpool or Arsenal? Well, not
I didn't even mention Liverpool. Yeah, Klopp and Liverpool as well.
But is it a case of best of the rest?
Yes, as you said, it's rare that I agree with Stefan, but on this occasion I will. Manchester City are astonishing. We said last week, there's no way they can sustain this level. They can't score four goals, five goals, seven goals they've scored on occasion in games. But I do expect them to sustain winning matches over the course of the season. It's Manchester City's title. I would put my neck on the line and say they won the title comfortably by double points, I expect. I don't think Manchester United now are title challengers in a sense. I think that it's Man City and Chelsea Liverpool and Spurs and so on that are in a league of their own below the level that Manchester City are setting. So absolutely no disasters at Stamford Bridge. I think they need some context. They need some calm heads, which isn't a given at Stamford Bridge, considering how they've treated previous managers. I'm thinking of Carlo Ancelotti, who won the title and then the next season finished, I think, second to Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United and got sacked. So Conte is doing as well as I think Chelsea can do, and that they are on track, I think.
I was really just going to echo what Graeme said there to an extent. They really do need to, I think perspective at the end of the season may be really, really vital for Chelsea here. You know, as Graeme says, they've won titles inside coaches, so God, can't even imagine what will happen in the boardroom if they end up finishing second, 8 or 10 points behind Man City. But, you know, as we say, the real danger can come if they think that simply won't do and they sack a really good coach who's got a really good team working well. We saw it at Man United, we saw it at Liverpool after Brendan Rodgers almost won the title as well. And before Pochettino, Tottenham had a good decade of it where, you know, the quick fix is just to sack the coach and try someone else, reshuffle the pack and see what happens. And I don't think that's what's wrong at Chelsea. I think there's more bigger economic things that have kept them away from Man City this season.
I mean, let's kind of stay on that then. Time and time again, as you say, Chelsea like to sack a manager. They also lose star players like Costa, who was massive for them, even if it was in kind of like unceremonious terms that he left. He was a huge player for Chelsea.
Unceremonious.
I was going to say, I'm just thinking of Costa as ceremonious.
Fair enough. And even Matic as well. I just feel they're very, very good at recovering. And why is it they're able to maintain that level of success? And are they an exception to the rule when it comes to needing stability at a club in order to have on-field success?
Yeah, they are absolutely an exception. They've been the most successful team in England since Roman Abramovich took over. They've won more league titles, they've won a Champions League, they've won a Europa League, they've won FA Cups. They've been hugely successful, and I think part of that has been down to the structure that's in place at the club. Of course, this week, Michael Emenalo has left Chelsea, which is a bit of a surprise. He's left as technical director. He's been there for 10 years. And I think that will have a real effect on Chelsea. Whether it's positive or negative, they will be a different club, because Chelsea have become this club over the last 10 years. While they accelerated the progress initially under Abramovich and spent a lot of money, they in the FFP era, they have become a team that lives within their means. And Conte had his frustrations with that in the summer. This has been seen as a bit of a boardroom victory for Conte, but I think Conte might actually find in hindsight that Emanuelo was one of the guys sustaining Chelsea as the club that they were. So that is part of the reason, in fact, the main reason, I think, that they've been able to sustain that success over a long period of time.
Yeah, I do wonder if, just thinking about them as Graeme's talking, I wonder if their success has come because they've built a structure in the background that doesn't rely on a coach. And that's a very un-English approach to it, because, as you know, in Spain and in Germany and other parts of Europe, they have that system. They have a director of football or technical director underneath the board, and that means that they can kind of just throw a coach in, pull him out, throw another coach in, and all he has to do is coach the team that he's given.
Within reason.
Within reason, yeah. And that means that, yeah, like transfers every week, every summer, and then youth players coming through, blah, blah, blah. Which we've seen at Chelsea, they've obviously done a very good job in the last 10 years building up a huge youth academy. You know, coaches coming and go don't seem to get in the way of long-term transfer targets. So they seem to have built almost like a European model right there in the heart of London, where, you know, the Premier League still wrestles with that concept, but they seem to have done it really well. And we'll have to see if now that their own technical director, who may have been at the heart of that, is now leaving, if that does throw a few spanner in the works.
Would you be worried then if you're Conte, you're talking about that kind of structure they have in place, where a manager, if it's a manager pedigree, they can come in and succeed at Chelsea because of club, just the way the club is. Are you worried if you're Conte, because it's a case of he needs Chelsea more than Chelsea need him?
And Conte won't be worried by the developments of what's happened, because I think this is probably what Conte wanted. The relationship, by all accounts, between Emanuelo and Conte and Abramovich, the three of them, seems to be relatively good. Roman Abramovich was at Cobham training ground earlier last week. That's usually a sign of trouble, but from what we've heard, they actually had a really good discussion and they agreed to move on, and that was maybe evident in the result they got against Manchester United. I think what will be a concern for Conte is he wants Chelsea to spend more money in the transfer market. Mm. Whoever comes in to replace Emanuelo, Emanuelo's the guy who implemented this youth system at Chelsea, where they have a loan farm, which is essentially what it is, 50, 60 players out on loan at different clubs.
Kevin De Bruyne had it out in the barn.
Yeah, Kevin De Bruyne.
I lost a word there. What do you keep horses in?
Stable.
There you go. Kevin De Bruyne out in the stables.
Locking the barn door after the horse is bolted. It doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, moving away
after
from
the
stables.
After De Bruyne is bolted. Sorry.
This took a weird turn, this discussion.
Sorry,
So yes, as I was saying, I think the next stage of this for Chelsea will be moving a few more players into their first team. Abramovich must be looking at, now I know they make a lot of money from it through selling players in the transfer market, but Abramovich is a pragmatist and a good businessman. For all the murky dealings he's had and maybe the murky motives of him buying Chelsea in the first place, he's a good businessman, a good owner of the club. He'll want a few of those players coming to the first team, and actually it might have the opposite effect to what Conte wants. He wants them to spend more money. Whoever comes in next might be going, well, look at how much we've spent on the youth academy. Why are those players not coming in the first team?
Fair enough. I mean, let's kind of move away from the structure of the club and let's talk about David Luiz, particularly, not just about David Luiz, but about what's come out this week that he's been dropped and there might be an apparent rift. If this is the case and he's not going to get his place back in the team, is this going to impact Chelsea quite significantly? If this was 5 years ago, you'd probably be like, oh, this is a massive blessing in disguise. But is it still the case, given he had quite a good season last year?
I still think it is a massive blessing in disguise. I don't like David Luiz.
What, personally?
Personally, yeah. We don't get on, no. I just don't get him. I really don't get him. He's a central defender who takes free kicks and, you know, seems to thrive in making runs through the middle of the pitch and scoring goals. I've never thought he was a good defender. I think he seems to be more like a character. He's like a Brazilian John Terry. You know, I know John Terry's a much better defender, actually, to be honest with you. I don't know. I think he's, for a large part of his career at Chelsea, I thought he was no more than a cheerleader, to be honest with you. Now, I know...
It's becoming a character assassination.
I truly struggle to understand how he fits into a team of Conte's, which is so intricately tactically put together.
But he did last season. I would have, maybe not with the cheerleader point, but I would have agreed with you before last season, and I think a lot of eyebrows were raised when he returned, but he was excellent last season, and Conte managed to to forge him into a competent defender. They won the Premier League title by being a good defensive unit, and David Luiz was part of that defensive unit.
Yep, but you know, Conte wanted Bonucci and he got David Luiz, which is probably the worst comparison ever if you think about it. There could be more opposite. So I don't know. I think you're absolutely right. He was a very good important player for Chelsea when they won the title, but I just don't think he's irreplaceable by any means.
It's the depth I would worry about. I think Christensen's a good defender, and it's good to finally see a young player coming through Chelsea and become a first team.
After four or five years of doing excellent in the Bundesliga.
Well, yeah. We had to get a Bundesliga mention in there somewhere.
There you go.
Almost out of time, just then. Christensen's a good defender, but it's beyond that. I think they had, the guy's name escapes me, but a 17-year-old was the bench option against Manchester United. So that's where the depth is lacking. That's where you would miss David Luiz.
I can hear John Terry on socks right now.
John Terry's just picked up a metatarsal injury, but that won't stop him.
He'll be still in full kit.
He'll still be there, the cup final, strip on.
Yeah, under his Villa strip, he's always got a Chelsea strip on.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.